From Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for June 17th. Hi, it's Iris. June 17th. 10 in health, the one that made me reread the abstract, is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from Stay Young. Your cells remember how to be younger. A phase 1 safety trial is now enrolling 18 participants at 3 US sites to test the single eye injection of a gene therapy called AR-100. The study's primary question is whether the treatment is safe. Any vision restoring effect is a secondary observation and will be reported within months, not years. The therapy builds on work that showed turning on 3 of the 4 Yamanaka reprogramming factors OS, GAKI, and reset the epigenetic tags on aged retinal nerve cells without erasing their identity. In mice and monkeys with glaucoma, a single injection led to nerve regrowth, a younger epigenetic profile, and restored sight with no tumors observed. Those preclinical results were published in Cell 2023 and Nature 2020. Sinclair's team argues that aging stems from epigenetic drift loss of the chemical instructions that tell DNA which genes to use, rather than DNA damage itself. By delivering OSK directly to the eye, they can test whether correcting that drift is safe in humans, using the eye as an isolated, controllable entry point. If the safety data hold up, the same approach could eventually be explored for brain, ear, spinal cord and organ aging, but broad body applications remain years away. Next. Second, from Lindsay Max. Complexity Edge. Autism, or CKSD, a 5-page exploration checklist. I'm sharing a quick rundown of a new 5-page checklist that a therapist and autism assessor put together to help untangle the overlap between autism and complex PTSD. The guide starts with concise, clinically grounded descriptions of each condition, then moves into a checklist of more than 60 traits, flagged as leaning toward autism, toward CPTSD, or possibly both. It's meant to capture the nuance you often see when the two present together. The tool is aimed at anyone navigating this question, whether you're exploring your own neurotype, supporting a loved one, or preparing for an assessment. It also serves clinicians, coaches, and other professionals who need a clear reference point when they're working with neurodivergent or trauma-informed clients. Overall, it's a practical, experience-based resource that condenses years of clinical insight into an easy-to-use format, hoping to bring a bit more clarity and compassion to the diagnostic process. Up next, third, from Tell Me 3 Good Things, 16, June 2020, 6 till the 3 Good Things. So I was reading this article that talked about the connection between gratitude and joy. It mentioned that it's actually gratitude that brings us joy, not the other way around. The author then shared a few personal things they were grateful for, like receiving 2 4 leaf clovers from a reader in the UK. They also mentioned that someone named Lucy had taught herself to crochet and made a scarf, which was a proud moment for her. And they got to enjoy their first cherries of the season, which were really delicious. The author's experience with the 4 leaf clovers was a first for them, and it seemed like a really special moment. It's nice to see people sharing kindness with each other, and it's great that the author appreciated the gesture. The story about Lucy learning to crochet is also a nice reminder that we can always learn new things and be proud of our accomplishments. The article didn't have any specific research or data to back up the claim about gratitude and joy, but it did have a nice message about focusing on the positive things in our lives. It's always good to take a step back and think about what we're thankful for and how that can impact our overall well-being. The author ended by asking readers to share their own good things, which is a nice way to encourage people to reflect on their own experiences and find things to be grateful for. It's a small but thoughtful way to connect with others and appreciate the good things in life. And then, fourth, from Endpoints Pharma. FDA raises no major red flags with Moderna's flu shot. The FDA provided tepid support of Moderna's flu vaccine ahead of an advisory meeting, but, more importantly, didn't appear to raise any major concerns that could hinder its prospects in briefing documents. Next, fifth, from Endpoints Pharma. Health groups say AHS is trying to rush reinstatement of a SIP. Health groups are saying the Department of Health and Human Services is pushing to bring back the CDC's Vaccine Advisory Panel via SIP before it's ready. They argue AHS has framed a self-created crisis to justify a quick reinstatement, even though the panel was frozen after concerns about political interference and the need for a thorough review. The organizations point out that the ASIP work evaluating vaccine safety and efficacy needs a transparent, evidence-based process, not a rushed political fix. They worry that restarting the committee without proper safeguards could undermine public trust in vaccine guidance. In short, the critics want AHS to pause, finish the necessary checks, and only then restore the advisory panel, rather than racing ahead for the sake of appearances. Up next, 6, from MedPage Today Public Health. FDA alerts on shortage of breast biopsy needles. The FDA just let us know that the supply of stereotactic breast biopsy needles is going to be tight for a while, likely until March 2027. It's not a one-off glitch. The agency says the shortage is expected to linger, which means clinics may have to postpone or reschedule some procedures that rely on those needles. What this means for patients is that if you're scheduled for a stereotactic biopsy, you might hear about a delay or be offered a different type of sampling method. Doctors are being urged to check their inventory early, coordinate with their hospitals, and discuss any changes with you ahead of time. In the meantime, the FDA is monitoring the situation and will update providers if the outlook shifts. If you have concerns, it's worth asking your radiology team how they're handling the shortage and whether there are backup plans in place. And then, 7th, from MedPage Today, infectious disease. Experts PanRF-KJR.inquiry into removal of flawed vaccine study. MedPage Today legal and public health experts expressed concern about FDA's Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Scrutiny of a medical journal's decision to remove a study that purportedly suggested an increased incidence of sudden infant death. Next, 8th, from MedPage Today, infectious disease. RFK Jr. overrules experts to keep hantavirus cruise ship passenger in quarantine. So there's this cruise ship passenger who was exposed to hantavirus back in May, and they're currently in a quarantine facility in Nebraska. A federal medical review was done, and it found that there's no reason to keep this person in quarantine, but Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has decided to overrule that decision and keep them quarantined. The review likely looked at the latest research on hantavirus, which is a serious disease, but also relatively rare. From what we know, the risk of transmission is pretty low, especially if the person is no longer showing symptoms. It's not entirely clear what factors Kennedy Jr. considered when making his decision, but it's worth noting that quarantine decisions are usually based on a careful weighing of the risks and benefits. It's also worth considering that hantavirus is typically spread through contact with infected rodents with their droppings, so the risk of person-to-person transmission is relatively low. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have guidelines in place for handling hantavirus cases, and it's possible that Kennedy Jr.'s decision may have been influenced by other factors, such as the specific circumstances of this case. In any event, the passenger will remain in quarantine for the time being. It's a complex situation, and it's hard to say what the right decision is without more information, but it's clear that Kennedy Jr. is taking a cautious approach, and we'll have to wait and see how this situation plays out. Up next, 9th from MedPage Today, infectious disease. FDA staff weigh in on potential first mRNA flu shot. The FDA reviewers examined data from a phase 3 trial of Moderna's mRNA flu vaccine in adults 50+. The study enrolled about 5,000 participants and compared the candidate to a standard quadrivalent flu shot. They found the vaccine was safe, no Siri, this adverse events linked to the product, and the side effect profile looked similar to other mRNA vaccines. Efficacy signals were modest, roughly a 30% reduction in lab-confirmed flu compared with the traditional vaccine, which is lower than the typical 40-60% range for standard shots. Because the safety picture is clean, the committee can focus on whether the modest efficacy justifies a new product. For now, the data suggests a cautious, incremental step rather than a game changer. And then, 10th from KFF Health, key facts about the uninsured population. The number and share of people without insurance grew in 2024, increasing for the first time since 2019, according to KFF's analysis of data from the American Community Survey SES. This issue brief describes trends in health coverage in 2024, examines the characteristics of the uninsured population, and summarizes the access and financial implications of not having coverage. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.